Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the fourth quarter and FY22 earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Fashion and Retail Limited. The call will begin with a brief discussion by the company's management on the Q4 FY22 and full year FY22 performance, followed by a question and answer session. We have with us today Mr. Ashish Dikshit, Managing Director, Mr. Jagdish Bajaj, CFO, Mr. Vishak Kumar, Director and CEO, Lifestyle Business, Ms. Sangeeta Pendurkar, Director and CEO, Pantaloons. I want to thank the management team on behalf of all the participants for taking valuable time to be with us. I must remind you that the discussion on today's earnings call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be viewed therefore in conjunction with the risks that company faces. Please restrict your questions to the quarter and yearly performance and to strategic questions only. Housekeeping questions can be dealt with separately with the IR team. With this, I hand the conference over to Mr. Jagdish Bajaj. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to the earnings call for our company. The year gone by has been a roller coaster in terms of COVID waves and lockdowns. As you are aware, the first half and especially Q1 of FY22 was severely impacted by the Delta wave. The second half witnessed unprecedented growth as offline stores opened, and had it not been for the Omicron wave in January and February, it would have been a record-breaking period. Before I dwell on the result, let me, you know, tell you about the announcement which we have made today. We are very excited to inform you that the board in its meeting held today has approved raising of rupees 2,195 crore of primary capital through a combination of equity and warrants on a preferential basis to GIC Singapore, a leading global investment firm. GIC will infuse rupees 770 crore on closure of deal by H1 FY23, once all approvals are in place, towards 1.02 crore equity shares at 288.75 rupees per share, and 25% upfront payment for 6.58 crore warrants to be converted into equity shares at 288.75 rupees per share. The balance capital of 1,425 crore rupees will be infused in one or more tranches within 18 months upon exercise of warrants. Post the entire investment, GIC will own 7.5% equity stake in our company. Aditya Birla Group will hold 51.9% stake in the company post the completion of this transaction. ABFRL plans to use this capital to accelerate its growth engine built around the strength of its current businesses, along with a rapidly evolving play in emerging high-growth business models, and fortify its position as one of the leading players in the industry. The fundraise is a testimony to GIC's faith in the strength of ABFRL's branded portfolio, its proven business model, and its future growth potential. Now let me take you through the performance of Q4 and H2 of FY22. Q4 has turned out a very good quarter for ABFRL, despite the shock of Omicron wave, which disrupted business in January and February. Sales in Q4 is rupees 2,283 crore, a growth of 25% over Q4 FY21. EBITDA for the quarter is rupees 401 crore, a growth of over 58% over Q4 FY21. The net profit after tax for Q4 is rupees 32 crore compared to a loss of 196 crore last year. E-commerce during the quarter has grown by 18% from Q4 FY21. I will just like a minute to reiterate that ABFRL has had an excellent performance in Q4 on top of a very strong performance in Q3. Hence, let me narrate H2 performance, as this will help you in understanding our results in a better perspective of how they would have been in a normalized scenario. Sales in H2 FY22 is rupees 5,270 crore, a growth of 35% over H2 FY21. EBITDA for H2 is rupees 1,010 crore, a growth of 50% over H2 FY21. The net profit after tax for H2 is rupees 229 crore compared to a loss of 137 crore last year. E-commerce has also grown in H2 FY22 by more than 21% over H2 FY21. Now let me take you through the full year performance. Sales for full year stood at rupees 8,136 crore, an increase of 55% compared to FY21. EBITDA for FY22 has been rupees 1,203 crore and has witnessed a growth of 91% compared to rupees 628 crore in FY21. Net loss for the company is rupees 118 crore after taxes compared to loss of rupees 730 crore last year. We have been able to maintain our net working capital at same level, this year despite 55% higher sales. The net debt of the company stands at rupees 504 crore, down by 5% from last year. We have significantly ramped up our digital capability and our e-commerce operations. The digital channel sales have grown by 52% over the past year. We have also enabled close to 50% stores with omni-channel functionality. The e-com revenue for the full year is rupees 1000 crore approximately. We also continue to grow our physical network with addition of 606 new stores. Along with that, we also rationalized 10% of our network by cutting off unviable stores. I will now take you through the performance of individual businesses, starting with lifestyle brand business. Lifestyle brands have turned out an exceptional performance in Q4 on the back of a strong growth in its retail and trade segment. Our brands have continued on its journey of significant market share expansion. Sales in Q4 is 1,342 crore, a growth of 34% over Q4 FY21. EBITDA for quarter is rupees 312 crore, a growth of 77% over Q4 FY21. The lifestyle brands reported a stellar growth of 25% on last year's sales in its own retail channel, highlighting growth in its market share. This stands testimony to the strength of our brands and their versatility to fulfill consumer requirement in all market conditions. Sales in the wholesale channel of MBO and departmental stores saw a growth of 71% compared to Q4 FY21 of last year. Let me also highlight the strong performance of lifestyle brands in the second half of the year. Sales in H2 is rupees 2,931 crore, a growth of 44% over H2 FY21. EBITDA for the second half is 658 crore, a growth of over 79% of H2 FY21. E-commerce has also grown in H2 by more than 21% over H2 FY21. For the lifestyle brand, the sales for full year now has been rupees 4,522 crore, which is about 64% higher than last year's sales. The EBITDA for the full year is 788 crore with a margin of 17.4%, which is higher by 510 basis points for FY21 margins. E-commerce sales continue to rise significantly for the division, 61% growth over last year, and our brands are available on all leading e-commerce platforms. Lifestyle brands have continued their expansion into both existing and newer Indian towns and cities, exiting FY22 with 2,522 stores, which has given its unassailable lead over its peers in this market and is contributing to its market share expansion. Business significantly improved its working capital management and achieved revenues of rupees 4,522 crore with an operating capital of rupees 370 crores, excluding goodwill and right-of-use assets. This reflects strong asset productivity and high return on capital for the business. The Pantaloon business, despite a relatively higher impact of COVID-3 on its business owing to its higher share of business in malls, Pantaloon recorded revenue on Q4 of rupees 675 crore, a growth of 13% over Q4 FY21. EBITDA for Q4 FY22 is rupees 82 crore, a degrowth of 6% over Q4 FY21. E-commerce in the quarter has grown by 81% over Q4 FY21. Pantaloon's second half results shows its potential performance in a normalized period. It has seen a growth in profitability despite being more affected due to Omicron. Sales in H2 is rupees 1,741 crore, a growth of 24% over H2 FY21. EBITDA in H2 is rupees 298 crore, a growth of 8% over H2 FY21. E-commerce has also grown in H2 by more than 73% over H2 FY21. This profitability was achieved on the back of excellent inventory management and lower discounting, leading to higher gross margins, along with company's focus to leverage its operating costs. For the full year, Pantaloon reported an annual revenue of rupees 2,626 crore, a growth of 41% from last year, while the EBITDA stands at rupees 368 crore, witnessing a growth of 33% over FY21. The business focused on working capital management and improved NWC by rupees 45 crore. It achieved a revenue of rupees 2,626 crore with operating capital employed of just rupees 325 crore, excluding goodwill and right of use assets. Pantaloons also ramped up its store additions during the year with 49 new additions, 18 of which opened during the quarter. We plan to significantly accelerate retail expansion of Pantaloons network in the coming year. And lastly, our other business segment, which include Active Athleisure Innerwear, Youth Western Fashion and Super Premium brands. Revenue from other business segment is standard at rupees 217 crore, marginally higher at rupees from 214 crore achieved in Q4 FY21. Active Athleisure Wear, we expanded our distribution network and now selling across 27,000 MBO outlets and on the path to build a strong retail network. Youth Fashion and Super Premium brands continue to work on profitably and bring in more freshness to their merchandise. American Eagle grew 45% over Q4 FY21 and is gradually establishing itself as a premium denim wear brand for its consumers. Forever 21 grew 13% over FY21. We are expected to continue to grow profitability in the coming years. The Super Premium brands business segment, which includes the Collective and international brands, continues to grow strongly and profitably. Let me talk for ethnic business. ABFRL is now one of the strongest, most comprehensive portfolio of brands across price points, consumer segments, and occasions. ABFRL has made a constellation of partnerships with leading designers Sabyasachi, Tarun Tahiliani, and Santanu and Nikhil to add to its first investment in Jaipur. The revenues of the segment for Q4 is ₹101 crore and an EBITDA of 5 crore, a margin of 5%. This is nascent business for us, and FY23 will see ABFRL make investment to grow the business both offline and online. We expect this business to grow rapidly over the coming years in line with our aspirations. In FY23, in all these brands put together, we plan to add 70 stores, including a store in New York for Sabyasachi. These forays will propel ABFRL to be leading players in the large ethnic wear market. Now let me brief you the progress of our new partnership. House of Masaba, ABFRL has announced a partnership with House of Masaba and is picking up 52.4% in the company. We signed a definitive agreement and plan to integrate into our fold shortly. Acquisition of Reebok, as informed, FY23 will see the addition of the world-renowned sportswear brand Reebok in our portfolio with effect from October 1st to 2022. Way forward, building on the momentum at the end of FY22, we as a management are optimistic about FY23 and plan to focus on the following areas. Significant capital expenditure to fuel the growth across all the brands in the portfolio. Significant increase in spend on marketing activities for infusing strength in each of our brands. Number three, sharp focus and increased investment in areas such as IT and digital, strengthening our omni-channel and back-end infrastructure. And number four, increasing focus on overall digital play through recently announced D2C entity, wherein we would invest in building a portfolio of digital-first brands through organic and inorganic route and accelerate on e-commerce play. ABFRL has emerged much stronger out of the pandemic and is now operating on a much stronger foothold at the back of robust balance sheet, comprehensive brand portfolio and industry-leading talent, which enables us to realize our long-term ambitions of playing a leadership position in the apparel sector in India. Thank you, and we will now take your questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bajaj. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi team, thanks for the opportunity. I have many questions. I'll just try to club a couple of them for efficiency. So first question is regarding the fundraise. So last March, when we made this presentation for our FY26 vision, we had in fact shared a very detailed capital employment plan also, which was not around any raising any further capital. And when I look back FY22, it actually went very well for us in terms of recovery, in terms of numbers. So then what triggered this sudden, such a big fundraise? That's the first question.
Okay. Hi, Tejas. Can you hear me?
Sorry. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. So Tejas, if our long-term plan was made in January of last year and was presented to the investors around early March, what happened in April, May, June, all of you remember, all of us remember, has been one of the most devastating period for life in general, but I think consumer retail, specifically fashion retail, and all of first half of the year was significantly different from what we had imagined. We had come out of the first wave in January, February when this plan was made. And to that extent, your contention that nothing has happened in FY23 is actually very far from our own assumptions of how FY22 will turn out versus how it did. Over this period, we also realized that a long-term competitive position would require us to invest deeper because many of our growth initiatives which we had started on, starting from Pantaloons, where we had laid out a plan to expand 70-80 stores a year but ended up with close to 40-45 stores, Innerwear where expansion was held back, Ethnic where many of the business that we acquired were relatively underinvested from expansion and growth point of view. So if I were to summarize this, two things happen. One is FY22, unlike what you're saying, was dramatically different from what we had imagined FY22. In our plan at that point of time was better than H2 that we have delivered this year. We had a similar view of H1 last year, and therefore the full year would have been much, much better. Number two, because of what was happening around and the conditions, our expansion plans were held back quite significantly. At the same time, we continue to believe both in the long-term growth potential of the market and intrinsic strength of our brands. And we feel now the time is to accelerate, to catch up on what we have not done over the last 12 to 18 months. And I would go back almost till the beginning of the COVID period from 18 to 24 months where some of our growth initiatives have held back. We have made investments in acquiring platform, but commensurate investments in actually scaling up those platforms have been lesser than what we would have ideally liked. And therefore, there is an accelerated need to grow these platforms. These are very significant opportunities. You've seen how Pantaloons business has turned around in the last 3-4 years and it's strong fundamental economic model. Ethnic wear business that we've acquired now, there is no doubt that the strength of these brands will allow us to grow them much, much faster. Two and a half years back, this business didn't exist. Now we are clocking Jagdish Men's in about 400 crores, 450 crores a year annual trajectory. And we had laid out a plan for 1,500, 2,000 crores of that. To realize all that would require long-term capital and a balance sheet which is strong and we don't have to keep looking back. It is a plan that we've been working on from the time the COVID phase 2 happened on how do we strengthen significantly that for next 2-3 years we don't have to worry about capital to take our organic growth expansion plans. And that's really how we see this.
Fair point. So second, so how should we think about now FY26 vision? Does it mean that we'll participate in many more categories because capital is also now available? Or does it mean that we'll go more aggressive in the existing categories that we've identified already?
So answer to that is latter, what you said, which is we have, as I mentioned, very, very strong platforms. Pantaloons' story is still to play out fully. Innerwear, still long runway. Ethnic wear, we just acquired. Reebok is a large opportunity that we'll play out over. So our existing strength of platforms, brands, and portfolio has a very large capacity and capability to actually grow. And that's where most of our investments go. I don't think that just you should look at this investment as a one-time infusion to solve current problem. This is more a long-term strengthening of balance sheet, which will allow us to fulfill exactly the strategy that we played out, that we had laid out earlier.
Sure. And so, whom do we consider our competition now? Because since pandemic, we are seeing that conglomerate retailers are getting very aggressive across categories. And fortunately, most of those retailers are either part of a big house, so their dilution, if at all happening, is not visible. Or they are unlisted in India, so we are not able to track that infusion that closely. So just wanted to understand, are we competing some of those big names or are we actually still playing marking our competition as which was the case, let's say, pre-pandemic?
So I think this is, we have always stated, and you saw that in our strategy, that the opportunity is what excites us more than competition. It's a very large market. Depending on who you ask, it's $70 to $75 billion. How much of it would have recovered? But when it normalizes, it's Indian apparel market is perhaps one of the largest, if not the largest, consumer space in this country. The extent of branded play is still limited, reflecting the fact that even a major player like us is less than $2 billion in revenue, $1.5 billion in revenue. So that tells you how large the fashion space is and how little is the penetration right now and what is the large runway available to us. So more than looking at competition, because each of our competitor or each of our segment that we are playing is has a different set of competition. Our strategy needs to be guided by opportunity, our own intrinsic strength, our capability to execute, and vision that we have for the business. And not really looking at competitors and looking at what they're doing and who's a competitor. In each of them, we obviously will have worthy competitors, both national and international, and we'll have to deal and compete with them.
And the last one, sir. Was Flipkart our strategic investment already was considered or approved for this round of fundraise?
No. This fundraise was with... our idea was to get really long-term financial investors, but whose outlook is into future on and a partnership that we could build on over next decade or so as the company grows and expands its presence in the fashion market. Therefore, the idea was to get somebody whose investment strategy, proven discipline, ability to have long-term partnership in India, proven over a long period of time, and that's how GSE filled most of these criteria for us. And to that extent, this is really how this partnership was conceived.
Thank you. So that's all from my side, and thanks on all the rest.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ali Asghar Shakir from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. I have a question first on, your fundraise and your, growth initiatives that you mentioned. So I'm coming from the point of view that, we are a company which has an ability to, generate probably more than 1,000 odd crores of operating cash flow. So I hear your comments that, we want to accelerate our growth initiatives. But when I see lifestyle, largely franchisee-led growth, even Pantaloons, we are now increasingly moving to that goal. And in fact, the kind of free cash flow generation we have, I thought we have a sufficient capital to drive growth in our existing portfolio. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I just want to understand what are the broad areas of, investment of this new capital. Would it be used for further inorganic growth opportunity that we see in any new areas? And a related question there is, so, what should be your guiding force in terms of your margin profitability metric that we should see during this phase of, investment? Thank you.
So I think, Ali, fair point in terms of our some of our businesses having strong cash flow generation capability. But as I was explaining earlier to Tej's question, I think the way we see our potential and what has happened in the last 2.5 years, many of our platforms haven't really played out to the extent that we wanted to do, and rightly so considering the situation that the industry was, consumer was, and the overall landscape was. So we believe, coming to your question, where would a large part of these investments go? I would say the largest parts would go in singularly expanding Pantaloons franchise to get it to the potential that it has. Ethnic wear portfolio is also, and contrary to what you're suggesting, we have always maintained that Pantaloons will probably stay at 20%, at best 25% of its expansion through franchisees. So 75-80% of Pantaloons expansion would be owned capital. Our entire ethnic wear portfolio, we have acquired some of the most well-known and strong brands in the portfolio. We now need to do justice to them by expanding those. Reebok is a large opportunity. Our international brand business, whether it's American Eagle or international brands, they are going very, very profitably and have a very strong runway. Reebok is probably a very long-term, large opportunity that we're playing out if you look at that market dynamics. So if you really look at what we have in our hands, other than lifestyle brands, which obviously have consistently been cash flow generator and need very little capital to grow. Even there, we'll perhaps at some stage, 18 to 24 months, we'll have to build up a little bit capacity on the manufacturing and supply chain side. Most of this would go to strengthen the accelerated growth trajectory that we have created for the portfolio that we have. And that's our primary goal. Needless to say, a part of the capital will also have to go as the consumers are pivoting, as digital is getting more important, both in infrastructure ability, building own dot-com business, which is required to actually have a captive platforms where consumers shop from you instead of today, about 80% of our business comes through third-party platforms. That's the other thing that we need to invest in. All these are, I would say, part of the organic plan and pretty much part of the plans that we had laid down. FY22 dynamics have affected both our growth investments as well as our capacity because it has significantly dented the balance sheet versus what we had imagined.
Got it. This is very detailed and insightful. Just quick follow-up here is, so then should we build more than 1,000 crore kind of CapEx in our existing organic business? And are you saying that we don't have any inorganic possibilities in the near term?
So as far as organic CapEx is concerned, I think 1,000 would be aspirational for us. We would love to spend. I don't think we have the capacity to spend that kind of capital. But the number would definitely be, what we would like to do is something like 700 plus crores, which we would invest in this year as we go forward.
I would just
ask a little bit higher.
Because, sorry to interrupt, but I was just asking this, Ashish, because we already have that kind of, operating cash flow to fund our business, and therefore I thought that.
No, Ali, I think you're looking at this fundraise, which is a long-term strengthening of balance sheet to take us through next 3 to 4 years of growth with the CapEx of 1 year. I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
Okay.
But your suggestion that our CapEx will be significantly higher this year and perhaps for next couple of years is correct. And that number perhaps will be 700 crores to 800 crores at best if you wish, and maybe on the lower side about 600 to 700 crores. It'll be a function of our execution and scale at which we can build this. But that's where it would be.
Okay. And on inorganic, any near-term possibilities?
So inorganic, I don't see an immediate thing, but as I have learned over a period of time in a industry like this where there are so many opportunities available, I think at any point to say there will be never any inorganic would not be a right thing and be incorrect for me to suggest that. As and when these opportunities come, we evaluate them both with strategic alignment with where we want to go as well as the right sort of value that it is there. As of now, that's not the purpose of this fundraise. This is built around a longer-term balance sheet strengthening, which currently requires most attention as far as our organic businesses are concerned.
Understood. This is very helpful. Just last one, question on balance sheet. If I can just ask Jagdish to address, inventory payables yet look higher than pre-COVID levels, even if I adjust for the new store additions. So is this due to the new ventures in ethnic wear or should this reverse?
Ali, primarily this is a function of building up the inventories in the Q4 for the next season. The payments will flow in FY23. And another reason is the inventory build-up for the expansion plan in all our business segments, including the ethnic business segment.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So the first question is with regards to the sharp margin expansion that we have seen in the Madura brands. So just wanted to know how sustainable this is and what has led to the sharp margin expansion during the quarter.
Okay.
I'll get Vishak to come in on this question, but I would only suggest that please look at margins over at least 2 quarters and because there is some shift in sales quarter to quarter, but Vishak would be in best position to explain this to you.
Hi, Gaurav. First things first, yes, like Ashish said, we've been on a very good momentum. And Q4 also, even in spite of a January which was Omicron affected, we had a very good like-for-like sale. So that significantly helped. The costs are largely fixed. And when that gets spread over a larger sale, then it flows straight to EBITDA. Also, I think because of a very strong wedding season, discounts were tighter and hence gross margins also expanded a little more. Some parts of it will not sustain, one is I think we will get to a much larger advertising spend as we look at the quarters ahead. So that won't come. And there was some part of it which was still one-off gains of last year with the kind of cost reduction initiatives that we had. So that's broadly the math of where we are. So the momentum is good. The EBITDA percentage looks good. But perhaps there are a couple of things where we will invest more in the quarters ahead.
Sure, sir. And one follow-up to this, I mean, in terms of the store expansion plan, so if we see, we have opened around 145 odd stores during the year. And, you know, we have been guiding to add around 350-400 stores for the year. So anything on that front?
So, Gaurav, this year also, we actually added about 400 stores, okay? But we closed roughly 250 stores, okay? Now, closure also, some of it was real closure, some of it was also some term changes, customer code change, etc. So, net-net, we did expand close to about 400 stores. Please remember, this was also a period of COVID, wave 2, etc., where some parts of retail network had to be rationalized, where we were not able to get rent concessions from landlord partners, etc. So, we had to do that also. What it has done is, not only has the expansion momentum continued, it has also created a more, you know, it has churned out a more robust retail network as well in terms of sales per square foot of the network which we have now. That momentum of about 400 stores per year, I think we will be able to continue for a few more years.
Sure. And so the next question is with regards to the Pantaloons business. I mean, you know, I do understand that the Pantaloons business was impacted due to the COVID Omicron impact. But how do you see the overall performance ex of it? Had we saw not seeing this impact, what kind of a performance internally it's tracking about? And how is the Q1 looking, if you can help us with that as well?
Sangeeta, you want to come in? Just give a context a little bit about the large format stores have been particularly most severely affected by COVID. You would have seen it right so, but go ahead.
So I think as Ashish mentioned, we've seen, given the fact that our businesses are over-indexed to malls, we've seen through the year the fact that large format stores have had a deeper impact. And it's true for us, it's true for other players in the industry as well. And largely, we've had a start-stop with Omicron kind of coming in, wave 2, wave 3, Omicron coming in. We've seen a start-stop. And Jan-Feb, the business got impacted. However, I think we feel good about our overall performance, given all the headwinds that we've had. You've seen the numbers that Jagdish has talked about. We've ended the year with a 41% growth over last year. Had it not been for January and February, I think our performance would have been even better. And when we normalize for that, our numbers look, we've lost about ballpark about 160 odd crores, 150, 160 crores just in quarter four on account of the shutdowns that we saw in January, February. I think what's encouraging for us is that everything that we have shifted in terms of strategy over the last three odd years, we've seen impact of that. We've made a lot of changes and investment during the pandemic to make sure that we are a much stronger organization. We've had headwinds with the shutdowns, some headwinds with our supply chain issues, which have led to some supplier-led issues. But overall, looking at our performance through the back end of Feb, March and April gives us terrific confidence in terms of both our strategy and the return to momentum that we have seen. I think if it wasn't for the closures and the fact that we are over-indexed in terms of malls, our performance would have been even better.
Shyam, and one follow-up to this, I mean, in this light, as you know, as Ashish has also mentioned that, you know, looking for a robust CapEx plans going ahead in the, all the formats, including Pantaloons. So how should we consider the store opening momentum here, and what kind of CapEx could we see for the Pantaloons team?
Right. So this year, again, we've opened close to about 50-odd stores. And just as Vishak explained, you know, we obviously had some challenges there. We would have opened more number of stores if it wasn't for the closure of a few months in the year. We have stated this very clearly in terms of our intention to open stores. We see Pantaloons as a format that works across town classes. In the past, we have clearly said a number of, you know, 70-75 stores per year, and that's the acceleration that we will see going from this year to next year. And this year, we would have opened more if it wasn't for the challenges that we faced. But in the coming year and the years to come, we would take that as the number, anywhere between 65-70-75 stores is what we'd like to open.
Sure.
And commensurate CapEx that we would need for that is what we will factor in our strategy.
Okay. And on just one last question from my end is with regards to the other businesses. So if you see during the quarter, the other businesses just grew marginally by 1% YOY and actually declined as a QOQ basis. So if you can highlight how has been the performance, particularly for the innerwear and athleisure business in Q4 specifically?
So innerwear business continues to grow rapidly. There are other parts of the business like Forever 21, which hasn't grown over last year, which formed a substantial part of our other business. Innerwear, I think, has grown at about a high double digit, 15-16% for the quarter.
Okay. Thank you. And that's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nihal Cham from Edelweiss Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much and good evening to the management. So a couple of questions from my side. First on the quarter, specifically for a lifestyle brand, the SSG performance has been impressive and definitely industry leading. And you have highlighted certain aspects, whether it is sort of extension of various brands, which have in a way helped this. I just wanted a little more sense, Vishak, if you could bifurcate that, is it mainly the brand extensions or what would be the improvement of the share in e-com, which can, you know, bifurcate and give more clarity on this growth. Also, there is talk of obviously a wardrobe refresh kind of a trend currently happening. So yeah, are you seeing that trend, and that would also reflect in terms of your formal and casual share, how that is played out? That would be the first question.
Yeah. So, Nihal, I think it's a lot of questions. First things first, the momentum on growth was overall good in the market. I think we did a little more, but yes, there was a lot of wedding season and all of that, which we were able to capitalize quite well on. We are in fact built it very well. We had built a very strong wedding line, etc. As you know, during the periods of pandemic, we had also built a very, very strong casual line and sports lines, etc. Now that also came very nicely into the party. And with the third impact, which is of back to work happening and a very strong comeback of a lot of people when they're going back to offices, buying new clothes for that. All of this together, I think we were able to capitalize on all three segments. So that is what created a good, strong momentum. I think we also were able to, you know, our many initiatives which we've been taking over a long period of time, you know, including a 12-season model which allows for greater flexibility and ability to put what is required in the market at that point of time. Some of those things also, you know, they are very hard to put as a silver bullet, but they contributed significantly. Many supply chain initiatives, including a lot of technology in terms of retail assortments, that also helped. So it was many things which went together, Nihal, to be able to deliver. And it's not just Q4. If you look at Q3 also, that same trend continues. So it is in that sense an extension of many of those initiatives bearing fruit.
So could we point out any one of these aspects standing out, or it's all an equal mix, you would say?
If I were to say, I think one would be hard, but if I were to say the top three, it's a very, very strong wedding assortment, a strong formal assortment, and a strong sportswear and casual assortment. All three together, I think, came very strongly, which were enabled by multiple things at the back end to be able to create a force multiplier as well.
That's helpful, Vishal. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Second question, Ashish, was on the fundraise. Just considering the quantum in terms of, you know, how our CapEx has been in the past and also the average ticket size of our recent investment, is it by any chance possible to give a bifurcation? You mentioned Pantone will be the first in order of, you know, where this 2,000 crores could be incrementally invested in. And second related question to that is, does it change our targets which we laid out for FY26, considering the pace for Pantone and all the other brands accelerate versus the earlier thought that we had?
So, well, it's harder to give exact breakup, but clearly this is meant to strengthen balance sheet to a point that next 3 to 5 years our expansion is sort of well supported. A large part of our growth story is built around growth of formats that we have. The two very strong ones, which are Lifestyle and Pantaloons, are sort of well positioned, but they still have a very large runway. There are new ones like Innerwear, which needs to double and triple over the next couple of years. There is whole ethnic wear portfolio where we started from zero and we had committed about 1,500 crores by FY26. In terms of where we stand in that journey, I think our current confidence is that we will do well above that number, and that's the strength of the platforms. Reebok has additionally got added. Some of the confidence around our ethnic wear also comes from the new launches like Taswa, Jaipur coming on its own. And therefore, at this point of time, we feel that the projection that we had made for FY26 a year and a half back, despite the fact that we have lost almost 6 to 9 months, we feel even more stronger that that we not only achieve but exceed those numbers. A large part of our capital will have to go into that and into growing, and therefore Pantaloons and Ethnic and Innerwear, perhaps in that order, would take largest amount of investments as far as capital is concerned.
So, Ashish, look forward to more details in the coming calls. Thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
So, first question is regarding the fundraise. Why did you select the warrant option and not direct equity?
So, Ankit, we were looking at longer-term solution for our capital needs for 3 to 5 years, at least 5-year horizon. So we came up to a number. As you can make out from the previous questions, that it's not that we need all that capital today. We wanted to make sure that our balance sheet is strengthened over a period of time and capital infusion is more in line of what we think would be our requirement as we go forward. And that's really how we needed to stagger it, and warrants came up with the best solution to do that.
Sure. So my second question is regarding the D2C you know, strategy which you laid out last quarter. Just wanted to know what will be the capital infusion, because few of your press interviews last quarter suggested 250 to 300 per investment. Does it change after the fundraise, or that capital remains at the same level?
No, I think as far as D2C is concerned, let me first state very clearly that we have said after initial infusion of capital, we would look to raise capital externally in that entity directly. That plan doesn't change at all. This fundraise is not to fund D2C business directly from this side. We have a clear strategy on D2C, which we laid out. We'll stay consistent with that. We had mentioned an amount at that point of time between 300 to 400 crores, but that might change a little bit because the idea is to get first 8, 10 investments made in this year and then go out and raise capital on that. So that's on a separate track. I think it'll have its own investment profile and will also have its own funding profile. Our current investment or current fundraise is primarily targeted to accelerate the growth of businesses that we currently have and the ones that we have in the portfolio, either part of Pantaloons, Ethnic Wear, or Innerwear portfolio.
Sure.
And sir, my last question is regarding the debt equity. You always mentioned you're comfortable with 1 to 1.5 times debt to equity. Is it safe to assume we will continue with that, or we want to be debt free going forward?
No, I think long-term guidance, which we can consistently sort of go by, Jagdish had given that number in the long-term plan that we have, and we'll stay with that. So there's no change in that. Of course, there will be periods when cash flows will be such that you probably it may just exceed marginally, or there'll be periods in which they'll be debt-free. Our business will go through those cycles, but we will stay within the boundaries that Jagdish had laid out earlier in his long-term plan.
Sure, that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on the recent fundraise as well as strong margin performance during the quarter. Sir, Pantaloons, we were doing close to about 8,000 to 8,500 revenue per square feet pre-COVID. Can we get back to this run rate in FY23?
Sangeeta, do you want to come in here?
Yeah, sure.
Pantaloons productivity pre-COVID and projections for going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, so hi, Devanshu. So as I mentioned before, in terms of our strategy, I think all the things that we have done to strengthen the proposition of Pantaloons, and if you've seen during the pre-pandemic, we were on a good trajectory to strengthen our productivity through the store. What obviously we've seen over the last 2 years is a disruption on account of lower footfalls, and that story has been told by us and many of the other players in the industry. In FY23, our endeavor will be to absolutely improve the performance over this year. I think both with demand coming up and with supply chain issues, being settled, we feel pretty confident. Plus, in the interim, I think we have done a lot of things, as I was alluding to before, in terms of strengthening our proposition. If you look at it, a lot of our large stores have been renovated. Our entire effort is to get to a much stronger customer experience, both offline, online, and omnichannel. So our endeavor would be definitely to get as close as possible with a better product proposition, with investments in marketing, with expansion in distribution, which of course does not improve the same store productivity. But all in all, a better proposition for a customer and a better customer experience built on a stronger brand, a better product aesthetics, and an improved in-store experience with the new retail identity and the investments in the brand, our endeavor would be to definitely get back to the pre-pandemic levels.
Thanks. This is helpful, ma'am. Secondly, for these 75-80 store additions that you plan, what is the estimate capex that you expect to do in Pantaloons? This question is because I guess the store sizes that we have been opening are relatively lower now.
So these stores, again, it is a function of the size of the stores. I think with the new retail identity that we built, our investments in capex per square foot have been higher. But ballpark, the investments would be in excess of about 150 crores that we are looking to invest in Pantaloons, purely from a store expansion standpoint, and some renovations included.
Sure. Ashish, just wanted to understand what is the rest 550 crores sort of capex that would go into other segments like innerwear and ethnic. Can you sort of break up or segregate the capex for each of the divisions?
I don't have the number right now. Maybe Jagdish can share with you greater detail. But a lot of it would be Pantaloons renovation, which would be over and above the expansion plan that we talked about. There'll be a lot of investments in digital and back-end, which is warehousing and supply chain.
There'll be subsequently a large investment that we have planned in our ethnic wear business, particularly Tasva, where we plan to launch 65 to 70 stores next year. Sabyasachi, where we're expanding globally. Jaipur, where we'll be opening 15 to 20 stores this year on a base of 10 to 15 stores. Part of lifestyle brands would see investment in manufacturing as we scale up the back end of that business. Is the front end is scaling very, very aggressively. And as you might know, this is only business where we have a manufacturing largely to ensure that the premium quality is kept in-house. So it's a whole bunch of initiatives around both growth, refreshment, like Sangeeta mentioned, for Pantaloons for renovation, and for backend, which is both digital IT being one side and supply chain and manufacturing on the other side.
Sure. And lastly, we have delivered about 19% EBITDA margins in H2. So I request you to provide some color on margin trajectory going ahead, given the investment that we are going to make. Does this 19% sort of EBITDA margin, can this sustain going into FY23?
So I don't want to, at this point of time, give an indication on the margin. I think you've seen the trajectory over a period of time. FY23-22 second half was buoyed by two factors. One is there's significant cost depression that we had done through efforts right across the organization, store network refresh, closing down a lot of lower productivity stores, driving hard rental negotiation, and other cost measures that we have taken. And to that extent, the cost base itself has got slightly deflated for the, some of it would come back. Part of our advertising investments, as Jagdish had mentioned in the opening speech, will need to go significantly higher than where it had come down to in FY21-22, where we had to take deep cuts on that. And that will come back to the level before the pandemic, pre-pandemic levels. So these were two effects which will probably moderate some of the good outcome, which is a more buoyant market, relatively stronger position in the market compared to other brands. At least in the lifestyle segments, the benefits of the refresh that we are doing in Pantaloons, both on the product and experience, the store investments that they're doing. So to that extent, some of that will be offset by the costs coming back to the levels that they were pre-pandemic. And that would probably indicate a margin which may be slightly lower than H2 that we have indicated this year.
Thank you, Ashish. That's really helpful, and that's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. A couple of questions. So first is in this D2C business, should we expect some cash burn in the initial years?
There might be. There would be, because while what we would acquire would be largely profitable businesses, though subscale, but to get them scale would require investments, which may have to go through a period of losses in that business that you'll have to do to grow these D2C brands. Some of them would be seller brands, which are intrinsically profitable and hopefully will remain that way. Some of them are direct-to-consumer brands which require deeper investment in early phase to acquire customers, create stickiness around that, and they will go through a period of losses in that. So it is fair to expect some degree of losses in that business initially.
Okay. And so my question, second question is, you did mention that you people are now confident of exceeding your FY26 guidance with so many new brands coming into and scaling of the capex also. So now I understand that from top line point of view, there is a visibility of exceeding the guidance. But from bottom line perspective, also you feel that you'll exceed the guidance. The 23.
Very, very hard to say, but I would say we should at least stay away from what we had indicated at that point of time. This whole investment into growth is meant to create a very profitable business. That's what drives our thinking on these, and therefore there is no reason at this point of time to change that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishree Bang from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So my question is, it is mentioned in market update that inflationary pressure is offset by price increase. So how is the response that company got for this price increment?
So many of these price increases have been more continuous in nature than a one-time. If you follow textile value chain, the raw material prices have been going up now for last 9 to 12 months. Of course, the intensity may have gone up off late, but there's been a continuous price inflation in raw material prices. And there's also been, therefore, a consistent sort of matching of that, at least from the second half of last year. Much of that will play out and will depend on how rest of the inflationary environment plays out in the country across other consumption baskets over the next 6 to 12 months. We'll have to keep a watch on it. Too early to say that it would. In past, there have been times when most of this price increase has been passed on. Consumer has had very little volume impact. But I think this time will be guided by overall macro situation as far as inflation is concerned. And that may have some repercussion, but we will continue to keep an eye on it. At this point of time, we remain hopeful from the current trajectory that most of this price increase will be absorbed by the consumer.
Abhishree, do you have any further questions?
No, that's okay. Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Yash Khemka from Yash V Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. So thank you for the opportunity. I just had a question that what will be your guidance across segments in terms of revenue for FY23? If you can throw some light on that.
We don't give guidance of that nature. At this point of time, it's hard for us to put a number to it. We have an internal target, but I don't think it'll be fair right now to put to give out a guidance on that.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot. And congratulations for a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Bharti from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. On Pantaloons, you said that you had lost 150 crores in Q4. Can you provide what was the lost sale in H2 just to get a trajectory?
I think the number would be probably similar or a little bit more around that. So effectively, we have lost closer to 300 crores in this period due to various impacts that happened. Starting from, of course, the number is much higher as you can make out in H1, but the overall number for H2 also would be in extent to 5,300 crores.
Sure. And on the Innerwear side, if I heard it right, you said we grew 15% YOY in Q4. Can we break this number for Q4 and 33% for the full year number in terms of volume as well? What is the volume growth?
I won't have that number right now. I think we can share with you separately.
Okay. And lastly, on the sourcing side, on the Innerwear particularly, did you say it's any disruption due to the issue in Sri Lanka?
No, we don't have much sourcing from there. So while initially it was an important part of our early years, but over a period of time we've been able to diversify into other countries, and to that extent we've not got impacted or have a large business coming out of Sri Lanka. That hasn't affected us.
That's all for my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Agarwal from Basant Maheshwari Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity. Sir, my question is, we are raising about 2,200 crore in capital, and assuming that we deploy this capital over the next 3 years by FY26, what is the kind of asset turnover ratio that we can expect from this?
See, we have, Weber, we have laid down a plan very clearly, which was given at the beginning of last year, where we have created both revenue, profitability, overall projections on that. That plan has got appended to certain extent because of losses that we have incurred in
H1 particularly and to some extent part of H2 in FY 2022. A part of the capital would strengthen the balance sheet, which has got impacted by last year. The rest of it would be plowed back to actually accelerate some of the plans which have not got played out last year. Also, as I indicated, with the strength of platforms we have, with the addition of Reebok now and some of the other ethnic wear opportunities that we've played out, we are looking at exceeding those numbers. Projections will remain roughly in line of, hopefully ahead of what we had predicted around FY 2026 numbers. To some extent, this capital is making up for lack of acceleration that we have missed out in FY 2022 and to cover up for losses that we had in the first half of H1.
Would it be right to assume that the kind of momentum that we lost in FY 2022, we would have to dilute our equity to the extent of 7.5% for that particular loss in momentum in FY 2022 for the remaining?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it would be totally incorrect to see it that way. Equity is built with a long-term point of view, with four, five, six years growth trajectory, ambition, and opportunity point of view. Therefore, it cannot be linked with one quarter and one half. All I was commenting on was our projections for next four, five years. They have been pulled back in last 12 months, and some of that needed to be re-accelerated. See, equity is a long-term capital, and it needs to be seen with that light. What happens in one half or one quarter would obviously impact some of those, but that's not the most critical element when we think about long-term capital risks.
Right. Sure. Thanks a lot for your answers. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Sir, just on Reebok. The consolidation was supposed to happen from Q1. Has there been a delay given that globally the deal has actually completed? When can we see that happen in India?
See, the deal, you'll start seeing it from quarter one of this year. The deal you're rightly saying has got completed. We'll get the consolidated numbers from quarter one this year.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the management, we thank all participants for joining us. In case of any further queries, you may please get in touch with Mr. Rahul Desai or Mr. Amit Dwivedi. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for your participation.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.